Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kingdom In Gathering Online Church. This is your host, Apostle Minetta Hare. We are live this day in the great city of Detroit, and we are exalting and blessing God. For I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm excited as we jump start the month of October with our new series on the Victorious Church. So gather your Bible, your pen, something to write with, and most of all, a teachable spirit. We will continue our series on Back to the Bible. Our mission, beloved, is to equip believers through authentic discipleship. And so we thank God for each of you who have gathered around of the throne of grace this morning here through our virtual sanctuary, through our online church. We send our greetings and blessings to those that are listening near and far. Beloved, we also have available during the next 30 minutes our open live prayer line. You can call us at 1-347-945-6272. Again, that's 1-347-945-6272. If you want us to pray with you and for you, we would be honored and blessed. I look forward to you calling in and being a part of our live broadcast. You may have a question. You may have a comment. And so you can use the same number, 1-347-945-6272. 6272. Those are some of our announcements for today. Stay tuned as we will come back with our teaching today on Victorious Church. Jesus, you saved us all. So as we enter into this series for the month of October, the Victorious Church, Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's our foundational scripture for this morning, beloved. As you grab your Bible and your pen and your piece of paper, I want us to have a prayer of agreement talking about the Victorious Church. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus, oh God, the name above all names, oh God, the name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, open up our minds, give us greater understanding and revelation and discernment to your word today, oh God, regarding your church, the Victorious Church, the greatest entity in the earth and on the earth, oh God. that you have spoken in the creed already that you have built your church, O God, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it, O God. So we thank you, Lord God, as you move by your Holy Spirit, O God, throughout this month of October, the dawning of a new month, O God, in your kingdom, O God, that your church will advance the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, I pray that you have enough time to grab your Bible, because today, beloved, as we kick off this series, the victorious church for the next four Sundays. I think it's the fifth Sunday in the month of October. So the next fifth Sundays, the next five Sundays, we're going to be talking about the victorious church, beloved. We're not talking about denomination. We're not talking about your local church. We're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this victorious church, Jesus is coming back for a victorious church, not a broke church, not a blemished church, but he's coming back for his church. Amen. And so, beloved, as we look, Peter, Apostle Peter, the fisherman, the cusser, Peter, he preached the inaugural sermon of the New Testament church. Amen. Peter is the one who preached that on the day of Pentecost. And what he did, he told the people to repent, to be baptized, and to receive the Holy Spirit. That's right, beloved. That's what he told the people. Be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. And all those who responded were then added to the local body of believers, which is the church. So, beloved, right there, the local church of believers, the local body. That's right. So you may belong to Holy Ghost Temple Baptist Church. That's a local body of believers. You may belong to St. John's AME. That's a local body of believers. You may belong to St. Paul PAW Church. Apostolic Church of Believers, the church, small c, amen, when you gather, amen, when you gather for prayer, for praise, for worship, for instruction, for teaching, for equipping, for preparing, for activation to the things of God, to the work of Jesus Christ as an ambassador of Christ. So, beloved, it's not your local church, it's not your denomination, but we're talking about the victorious church of Jesus Christ. Just as God sovereignly determined our parents and other family members, he also sovereignly chooses which spiritual families we are born into. Think about that, beloved. You had no decision on who would be your mother, your father, your siblings, and other family members. You had no choice in that. And so here we are, beloved, looking at God's victorious church, that the church is God's instrument for advancing his kingdom in the earth, throughout the earth, the church. Amen. We have God the Father, who is the King of Glory, the King of Kings. He rules and reigns over his kingdom. And the kingdom, beloved, as we pray that model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, beloved, the church, the universal church, the victorious church of Jesus Christ is the representative of the kingdom of God. Amen. I just want to make that plain for you, that we are all a body of believers. Whether you live in Detroit, whether you live in South Africa, whether you live in Asia, whether you live in India, whether you live in Australia, South America, you live in the European nations, if you are a believer and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are part of his body, the body of believers, the church of Jesus Christ, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Amen. And so the church is God's tool, God's instrument. And he has no N-O. He has no plan B. The church is the only legitimate setting for walking out the Christian faith. Amen? The church. The church. The body of believers. I want you to get that. I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about a physical building. I'm talking about the gathering of the body of believers. So no long-term, long ranger can be a true disciple of Christ. It is a body. Amen. It says many members, but one body. You don't have 10 heads. No, you have one head. And the head of the church is Jesus Christ. Many members. So when you look at your physical body, you have head. You have a head. You have eyes, ears, nose, mouth, arms, hands, feet. Amen. Torso, legs. So you understand what I'm saying. And the eye cannot say to the ear, I have no need of thee. That's the same, beloved, in the body of believers. We all need each other. I remember there was a song out several years ago, over 12 years ago, and it was saying, I need you, you need me. We all are part of God's body. We all are part of God's body. I need you to survive. You need me to survive. That song has such great significance if we would take it to heart. There are no long rangers in the body of Christ to being a true disciple. For all of us, every one of us who truly desire to follow Christ must find our place in the body. We must find our place in a body of believers, in a church family. And when I say that, church family, a body of believers. Amen. I hope that gives a little bit of clarity when we start talking even in more depth throughout this month about the victorious church. Amen. That we are all a part of this church. I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And let us read what Jesus said about his victorious church, his victorious church, not man, amen, not the pastor, not the fivefold ministry, not the deacons, not the trustees. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ, because our goal here on the Kingdom In Gather online church is to raise up and equip you to do the work of Jesus, equipping and training believers through true, authentic discipleship. Amen. And we've already covered what is a disciple, and we must make disciples because we've been given that charge by Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to read for you, found in Matthew chapter 16, verse, I'm going to start at verse 17 and read through verse 20. Amen. And our key verse is verse 18. Here's the word of God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. That's the word of God for the edification of the people of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just a little on that particular passage of scripture, beloved. Upon this rock, I will build my church. I know you've heard that passage of scripture before. Here, Jesus was being questioned by the disciples. They had questions. And so he answered and responded to them because he asked them in verse 15, who do they say that I am? And that's when Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so when Jesus said, upon this rock, Peter, upon this rock, we know Peter's name to call rock. Amen. But Jesus was talking about his church. Amen. The rock upon which Jesus would build his church has been identified as these three things, beloved. You may want to capture them and write them down. Number one, Jesus himself, his work of salvation by dying for us on the cross. That's number one. Number two, Peter, leader in the church at Jerusalem. Third, the confession of faith that Peter gave and that all subsequent true believers, you and I, would give. Amen. See, it seems most likely that the rock that Jesus was talking about refers to Peter as the leader of the church for his function. Hear what I'm saying? For Peter's function and not necessarily his character. God was still pruning and working on Peter. We know Peter cut off the soldier's ear. Peter denied Christ three times when he was being whipped and heading to the cross. So we weren't talking about Peter's character at this point, but he's talking about Peter's function. And just as Peter had revealed the true identity of Christ, so Christ revealed Peter's identity and role. Mm-hmm. That's what has God identified your identity and role, beloved? Because we see later, Peter reminds Christian believers that they are the church built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. So, beloved, right there, who's the church? Peter is telling you, you are, as a believer. That's the church. You're the church, not the building. And the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. And see, beloved, all believers are joined together this church by faith. That's how we become a part. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Then he died for our sins, for my sins, your sins, for the sins of the world, and the shed blood for the remission of our sins. This is the victorious church I'm talking about, beloved. No matter where you are physically in location or country, no matter what a local church or assembly, no matter what denomination, all believers are joined into the church by faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And the same faith that Peter shared with us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, and 21. Jesus praised Peter for his confession of faith. It is faith like Peter's that is the foundation of Christ's kingdom. Now, let us turn over. I want to read Ephesians chapter 2 to you as well. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 says to us in verse 20 and 21. Amen. Now we have Paul speaking to us, not Peter. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 20, and it says, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fit frame together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. So, beloved, we are jointly fitted together. So what does it mean to stand on the foundations of the apostles and prophets? Beloved, it means that the church is not built on modern ideas, but rather on the spiritual heritage given to us in the Old and New Testament. That's right. See, we know a church building is sometimes called God's house. And in reality, God's house is not a building, but God's house is a group of people. God's house is a group of people. If you remember in Isaiah 56 and 7, you can go back and read it. He said, my house, my Father's house, Jesus even quotes it in the New Testament in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke. And he says, my house is a house of prayer. But you turned it into a den of thieves. But Isaiah, the prophet, says that we are called to be a house of prayer. Amen? So a building cannot pray. So he was not talking about brick and mortar. He was talking about people, that the Lord's house should be a house of prayer for all nations. So we should be a group of people praying for all nations, meaning every people, every group, every tongue, every language, every tribe. Amen? And that God Almighty, he lives in us, and he shows himself to be a through a watching world through us. People can see that God is love and that Jesus is Lord as we live in harmony with each other and with what God says in his word, beloved. So Peter said, and as well as Apostle Paul, giving us instructions about the church of Jesus Christ, and that we are built on the foundation of Christ's kingdom. See, another discussion when we look at verse 19, I don't want to spend a lot of time with that, but when we look at that and talking about the kingdom and the keys to the kingdom, amen, and what does the kingdom represent? Some say the keys represent the authority that carry out church discipline, legislation, and administration, while others say that the keys give the authority to announce the forgiveness of sin. And still others say the keys may be the opportunity to bring people to the kingdom of heaven by presenting them with the message of salvation found in God's word. And so, beloved, as we read, as we study out the keys to the kingdom of God, that many religious believers thought that they held the keys to the kingdom and that they tried to shed some out. See, we can't decide to open or close the kingdom of heaven for others. But God uses us, you and I, to help others find the way in. And so to all who believe, under the sound of my voice, who believe in Jesus Christ and obey his word the kingdom doors are swung wide open. Amen. Amen. And so as verse 20 says, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So Jesus warned the disciples not to publicize Peter's confession because they did not yet fully understand the kind of Messiah he had come to be. Not a military commander, but a suffering servant. They needed to come to a full understanding of Jesus Christ and their mission as disciples before they could proclaim it to others in a way that would not precipitate rebellion. See, that's it, beloved. You have to know whom you are. You have to know your purpose and your assignment before you can reveal it and share it and promote it and declare it to the public. See, the disciples would have had a difficult time understanding what Jesus came to do until his earthly mission was completed. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're talking about the church of Jesus Christ, the victorious church. Amen. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, who is the rock? Who is the rock? Who's the rock? I know you can answer that, but I just want you to look at what the word is laying out to you and me, that we are aware that Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation, and that we stand upon the rock of Jesus today and in the days to come. Chapter 10, verse 4, it says, for your hearing, amen. Verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus Christ. Amen. I just wanted to show it to you. I'm not telling you anything, but it's in the Word of God. And so when we look at, beloved, the ultimate destiny of the church, the ultimate destiny of the church, do you know what that is? Let us look at Ephesians. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm laying this foundation for you this morning when we talk about the church of Jesus Christ, when we talk about the victorious church of Jesus Christ and the ultimate destiny of the church. According to the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27, for your hearing, and he sanctified and cleansed it with the washing of the word, by the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or as such things, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's it, beloved. That's the destiny of the church. That's the destiny of the church, that it would be sanctified, cleansed by washing of the water by the word, that it would not have a spot, it would not have wrinkle, amen, it would be holy and without blemish. So Paul is talking to us again, beloved, telling us and giving us direction about the church of Jesus Christ. See, Christ's death sanctifies. Hear what I said. Jesus Christ's death, it sanctifies and it cleanses the church. He cleanses you and me. He cleanses us from the old ways of sin and set us apart for his special sacred service. Christ cleanse the church by the washing of baptism. Through baptism, we are prepared for entrance into the church. Just as the Oriental brides were prepared for marriage by a ceremonious bear. Beloved, it's God's word that cleanses us. It's God's word. Look at John 17:17 and Titus 3:5. That's your homework assignment. Look at those two passages of scripture that we to be washed by the word of God. That cleanses us, that prepares us, beloved. The church, that's our ultimate destiny in the church of Jesus Christ. I know this morning you may be hearing this for the first time, beloved. But we are the victorious church. And thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so as we will continue to look at, beloved, who were the first members? Who were the first church members? Who were the first church disciples devoted to? What were they devoted to? What were the first church members devoted to? I'm going to close out with this today when we look at the book of Acts. Amen. Know what you are devoted to, beloved, as a part of the body of Christ. With the first New Testament church believers, I want to call you believers, Christian believers. Amen. When you look at what Luke is sharing with us, as a believer, they were dedicated, beloved, to prayer. They were dedicated, beloved, in the apostles' doctrine. Acts. I got so much going on in my head. It is the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. And this is what they were devoted to do. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, number one, in fellowship, number two, in breaking of bread, that's number three, and then number four is prayer. That's right. That's what the first church of believers devoted themselves to. And we, beloved, should be no different today. Into the apostles' doctrine, that's the teaching, fellowshipping with one another, in the breaking of bread, that's communion, and in prayer. Are you participating steadfastly as the First Testament believers? That's what became the church, beloved. There it is, right there. What are we supposed to be doing in our local churches today? You as a believer, following steadfast in the apostle doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, communion, and prayer. See, when we look at this background, beloved, there were about 3,000 people became new believers when Peter preached the good news about Jesus Christ. That's what I open up with, Peter preaching. These new Christian believers were joined with other believers and taught by the apostles, included in the prayer meeting fellowship. This included prayer meetings. This included prayer meetings. We just had on Friday our 12-hour quarterly online United Prayer Gathering, and we had persons calling from all around the country and all around the world. Amen. That was a prayer meeting and prayer gathering and fellowship. New believers in Christ needed to be in a group where they could learn God's word, pray, and mature in the faith. This is the foundation of the church. And if you just began a relationship with Jesus Christ, beloved, hear what I'm saying. Seek out other believers for fellowship, for prayer, for teaching. And this is the way to grow. This is your way to mature. This is your way to develop as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a student of Jesus Christ. It changes not, beloved. When we look at that passage of Scripture in the breaking of bread, as I said, it means communion services that were celebrated in commemoration of Jesus, and they were patterned after the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples before his death. Amen. We are laying biblical foundations to equipping you for authentic, true authentic discipleship, to do the work of Jesus Christ, for building you up to be a stronger believer, to be a stronger disciple in the victorious church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And so our last point that I want to share with you is found in Acts chapter 2. We're just going to read verse 43 through 47. And what it does is it describes briefly the early church. And so it says in verse 43, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily, and they continuously daily, and they daily with one accord," that's an important word, "with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, added to the church," added to his church, the victorious church, the church of Jesus Christ, "and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Amen. Verse 43 through 47, it describes the early church life, beloved, how far we are from it in this 21st century, 2,000 years later. Beloved, but we are going back to the Bible. We are going back to the Word of God. We are going back, beloved, to our first love. Return to our first love. So when we look at this passage of Scripture, verse 43 through 47, I already said it was 3,000 added to the church. See, we have to recognize other believers as brothers and sisters in the family of God. That's right. In the family of God, as your brothers and sisters, not about your gender, not about your race, not about the country that you live, not about your financial status, not about any of those things, beloved, but as a believer in Jesus Christ. See, the Christians in Jerusalem shared all they had so all could benefit from God's gift. See, it's tempting today, especially if you have material wealth, to cut off others, to cut ourselves off from one another, taking care of our own, me, myself, and I, my four no more. That spirit, that mindset, it has no place in the body of Christ. So we see each were providing for and enjoying the company and the fellowship. But see, we have this tendency to look at providing for ourselves and enjoying our little piece of the world. But as a part of God's body, as a part of God's spiritual family, as a part of the victorious church of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to help one another in every way possible. in every way possible. God's family works best when its members work together on one accord, in one place, one mind, one spirit. We know as Jesus prayed to the Father, just one, as he and the Father were one, that we are one in the body of Christ. Many members, one body. Many members, one body. So the family of God works best when all of us work together, because we know the enemy comes to cause division and to cause strife in the body of Christ. But Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, against you, against me, against the body of believers today, beloved. And so as a healthy body of believers, a healthy Christian community attracts people to Christ, not to ourselves, not to a building. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who saves you. See, the Jerusalem church's zeal for worship and brotherly love was contagious. Do you have a contagious love for Christ? Do you have a contagious worship to worship the true living God? See, a healthy, loving church will grow. I want to say that again. A healthy, loving church will grow. And I close and I ask you this. What are you doing to make your church the kind of place that will attract others to Christ? What are you doing to make your local church, your local assembly, your local body of believers the place, the fellowship that will draw, that will attract others to Jesus Christ, beloved? As we look at the victorious church, is your church a church of generosity and love and kindness and peace? That's what we have to look at, beloved, the generosity of the early church that I just shared with you, what they were doing one to another and sharing, beloved, that they would have love for one another. And so as we come to a close this day, I want you to reflect and meditate on the passage of scriptures regarding the victorious church this month. And what did you learn from today's message, today's sermon? And how would you apply it to your life this day? Think about that as we depart, as we close out. Pray that the word of God has penetrated your heart, your mind, your spirit, your soul, that it would multiply in you 1,000 times more, beloved, that it will not come back void, that you know that you are the church of Jesus Christ and that he has built it on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I see we have Minister Lovey with us this morning. God's blessings to you, Minister Lovey. We thank God that you have joined with us. You have any remarks, reflections? We got about 1 minute. Hallelujah.
Morning, good morning. Thank you for that powerful message.
Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Well, Father God, we just come giving you all honor, praise. We thank you, Lord God, as we go throughout the rest of this day, oh God, that we will stand on the solid foundation, the rock, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name, go in peace. We look forward to you being back with us next week. God bless you. This is Apostle Monetta Hare. Shalom, shalom.